breathing hurt, but it didn't slow him down. He launched at his brother a second time. He didn't just punch, he clawed. He didn't just bite, he ripped and tore. He didn't just kick, he punted specific organs. Sin let him? How could you do this to me? Between each tide of rage, he caught a glimpse of hurt. I loved you, only wanted to protect you. Yes, but for how long? One day you would have betrayed me. Sin hit him with a blast of magic, flinging him backward. You're only upset I struck first. Sin speed raced, grabbing a sword and moving beside him. Their gazes met, and he paused. He might wear Puck's face, but he couldn't mask his emotions. In his eyes blazed hatred, uncertainty, and the barest threads of affection and hope. The same emotions continued to bubble inside Puck. Affection wouldn't be tolerated. Sin had taken everything from him, and Puck had wasted away and found Gillian. The hope only intensified. Gillian at Sin's side, a sword in her grip. She swung, whoosh. The blade sliced through Sin's wrist. His hand fell to the ground, still clutching his weapon. He roared in fury and anguish, blood spurting from an open artery. Gillian prepared to swing again. Her next target, Sin's neck. "I'm sorry, Pucky," she said, tears in her eyes. Old instincts surged. Must protect Sin. No, must destroy Sin. Puck needed a second to think, only a second. He hurled his body at Sin, knocking him to the sand. Gillian missed his throat by a mere half an inch. Lying beneath Puck, a panting Sin morphed into his true form. Gashes littered his cheeks, neck, and stretched all the way to his... Puck did a double take. Sin had a butterfly tattoo on his chest, the mark of a demon. His brother was possessed. No time to process the revelation. Sin kicked him, sending him flying. As his brother stood, he grew a new hand, a regeneration as fast as William's.
"How do you want this to play out, Puck?"
"Tell me and I'll respect your wishes." Gillian remained in place, sword held steady. "I'm happy to give him a little internal body bling, or if you want him alive and unharmed, I'll back off, as long as he stops attacking you." Sin looked between Puck and Gillian, his pupils dilated to the size of teacups. Envy, sadness, relief and anger played over his features.
"She loves you."
"Yes, as I love her." A love that burned hotter than his rage, hotter than anything he'd ever known. It had no beginning and no end, it just was.
"The prophecy," Sin whispered. "You have your loving queen at your side."
"Yes. One brother would unite the clans with a loving woman at his side, the other would die." Sin swallowed.
"One of us will die today. I suppose it must be me. There's no changing fate, is there?"
"Puck," Gillian insisted, "dead or alive. And by the way, there is a way to change the outcome of a prophecy. There must be, and we're going to prove it." Puck stood slowly. He had no idea what he would say until the word left his mouth.
"Alive."
He had too many unanswered questions. How had Sin become possessed? When had it happened? Which demon did he host? Did the demon lead him now? Had the demon led him all those centuries ago? A blur of motion before something, a chimera, charged past the shield and slammed into Sin. "That never gets old," a familiar voice announced. Stunned, Puck met William's ice-blue gaze. The warrior loomed inside the wall of magic along with a few others, Winter and Cameron, who appeared sane, Keely and Torin, Rathbone, Galen and Pandora. Even Hades had come to watch the final showdown. Everyone who played an active role in Puck's life since his possession. "Hey, guys," Keely said with a wave. "I remembered there was going to be a party today and insisted the Hubs and I join the fun." Gillian gasped, her features brightening.
"William.
Peanut, how...
what?"
She stepped forward, halted, keeping her weapon trained on Sin. "I knew you were alive."
"Nice to see you, too," Winter said, her peak clear. "I'm well, thanks for asking."
"Winter."
Grinning, Gillian offered her a thumbs up.
"You're only half Cray now. That's awesome."
Winter flipped her off, but also returned her grin. Peanut trotted to William, who scratched him behind the ear and said,
"That's my good boy."
Gillian's grin widened as she exchanged excited greetings with Keely and Torin. Meanwhile, Cameron spat curses at Torin. He still blamed the Keeper of Disease for leaving them trapped inside a prison realm and longed to attack. understandable, but not allowed either. Keely and Torin had helped Puck win Gillian. In Amaranthia, they fell under his protection.
"Cameron," he snapped, "you will do nothing. Careful, distraction can kill."
Puck fixed his attention on his younger brother, bent down and withdrew a pair of daggers from the sheaths on his ankles.
"William, can you ensure Sin remains here until I decide my next move?" he asked. "Trapped inside his own magic walls?"
"I can," Hades said, sounding offended that he hadn't been asked first. "Very well, then." Determined, Puck closed in. Sin scowled at him and flashed, a new ability and a testament to the level of magic now charging his runes. Puck tensed, knowing his brother would have to reappear any second now. Sin reappeared next to Gillian, only he no longer looked like Sin or Puck. He'd shifted into Gillian, an exact replica. The real Gillian's jaw slackened. "What the—" Sin plowed into her, taking her to the ground, a clear attempt at misdirection.
"Which card is the queen?"
When one of them finally broke free, both stood to unsteady legs. William cursed.
"Who is who?"
"I have no idea," Winter said. Hades scratched his head.
"I have an idea. We'll kill them both."
Puck tossed a dagger, end over end, nailing the vaunted king of the underworld in the heart. No one threatened his wife.
"Fool."
With a frown, Hades plucked the weapon from his breastbone.
"I need a heart for that to work."
"How about we just stab them both?" Galen suggested, and Pandora nodded her agreement. "Just until the imposter fesses up." Puck tossed another dagger, the tip embedding in Galen's shoulder.
"Ow!"
Scowling, the winged male yanked the weapon free.
"What was that for? I didn't threaten her life." "Suggestions to harm Gillian will be met with swift and severe retribution."
Puck's gaze returned to his two possible wives, and in an instant of startling clarity, he understood how Gillian had guessed Sin's true identity. He recognized the sweetness of her scent and the emotions glittering inside her eyes, anger, dismay, and indignation.
"Suggestions can be ignored without bloodshed," Galen grumbled, rubbing his wound. "Just saying."
Now that Puck knew which was which, how should he proceed?
"I'm Gillian," one of them snapped.
"No, I'm Gillian," the other said, her voice an exact match.
"You're dead," Cameron said to Torin, and finally attacked.
Puck grew a vine of thorns between the two males. The distraction, slight though it was, came with a steep price. Sin Gillian took an offensive position, throwing himself into real Gillian a second time, slashing and stabbing. Real Gillian, now wounded, had to take a defensive position and do everything in her power to save herself without hurting her opponent, because she knew Puck wanted Sin alive, or had wanted his brother alive. No one hurt Puck's wife.
Chapter 44 Puck entered the fray, wrapping his arms around the real Gillian and kicking Sin in William's direction, shouting,
"Subdue him!"
"How do you know—"
William began. "Just do it," Puck commanded, applying pressure to a gash in Gillian's side. Warm blood soaked his hand.
"I'm fine, I'm fine," she rushed to assure him. "But how did you know I was the right girl? Same way I knew you?"
"As if I couldn't pick you out of a crowd of thousands, lass."
"If you're wrong about who is who," William grabbed hold of Sin anyway. Then the pair vanished together, Sin attempting to flash them both away. He failed. The two reappeared in front of Puck.
"Oh, yes, our Pucker was right," William said. "Give me the shears now."
Puck didn't have time to protest or question. Acting on instinct, he lifted the shears from his chest.
"I knew it," Gillian mumbled.
William punched his fist and the shears into Puck's chest and withdrew indifference.
"Withdrew the demon?"
Black smoke writhed in William's grip, red eyes glowing from within. The shears had done as promised.
Waiting, waiting.
Puck remained standing, his limbs strong, no residual pain. His mind was quiet, the dark presence gone. He drew in a deep breath, savoring. Finally, he was free of the demon. His horns began to recede, the fur sloughed off his legs, blowing in the wind. The hooves fell away, revealing his feet. A heavy weight lifted from his shoulders, all of his emotions sparking with new life. 1,000 watts of love, relief, adoration, affection, amusement, hate, resentment, grief, remorse, anguish, joy like he'd never known, sorrow. With the good came the bad, and Puck wouldn't have it any other way.
The shears, he began.
Back on your chest. And don't worry about your brother. Class isn't over yet. William shoved the demon into Sin. The male's entire body jolted before his knees gave out. He collapsed on the sand, thrashing in pain. No longer did he resemble Gillian. No, he was himself, but not. Horns sprouted atop his head, fur grew over his legs, and hooves materialized over his feet. Puck felt sorry for his brother and longed to use the shears on him. One day, maybe, but first... His gaze moved to Gillian, and his chest clenched. Tears streamed from her eyes, raining down her cheeks.
"You are hurt?"
he asked softly, willing to murder anyone who dared. She threw herself into his arms, trembling against him.
"Are you okay?"
"Not hurt." She worried for him.
"I am, lass, I swear it."
"Your brother." Puck peered down at Sin, who'd gone motionless. When he looked up at Puck, his eyes emptied of all emotion. Indifference had a new host and a new victim. Pang.
"You're going to leave him alive?" Gillian asked,
then chewed on her bottom lip.
"I am."
"I'll lock him away for now," Puck said. Gillian smiled, her face beaming.
"Then you're doing it. You're changing the prophecy. We can be together."
He wanted to be together. He'd earned a happy ending with this woman. After everything he'd suffered, she was his prize. And yet, he was still going to break their bond.
"Her happiness comes first, always."
"Not sorry to be the bearer of bad news, but you won't be locking Sin away. Sent ones are pissed, remember?" Hades marched to Sin and lifted him by the nape. "Sin is to be a gift to their elite. He killed hundreds of their race, and he will answer for his crime. This is the only way to save your hide and your realm, Pucker."
"No, I'll find another way."
Puck shook his head, razor blades clinking together. "I will oversee his punishment, me." "My words weren't part of a debate," Hades said, his tone casual and yet laced with menace. "They were an FYI. But don't worry, the Sent Ones aren't planning to murder him for centuries to come." Puck stepped toward the Underworld King with every intention of lashing out, but a delicate hand wrapped around his ankle, surprising him. He looked down to find the Oracle had awoken. Her otherworldly gaze stared up at him, glimmering with remorse.
"You saved my life," she croaked. "So I owe you, and I always repay my debts. The brother you once knew and loved is dead. If you want him back, let him go. One day he'll lose his head. He'll return, and what once was will be again."
Lose his head, literally? Then how could he return? Couldn't be literally if what once was, the love and fellowship he'd had with Sin, was to be again. Another pang assailed Puck, but he forced himself to nod. Very well. He would leave Sin to the Sent Ones. For now. Oh, how quickly a life could change.
"What other demon possesses him?" Puck asked.
"Paranoia," Keeley replied. "He acquired the fiend during those peace talks with your neighbor. Someone gave him a box. Who could it have been? Oh, yes, me. And oh, wow, think about it. He's got paranoia and indifference now. The two totally do not mesh. I have a feeling he's going to vacillate between total bat-crap crazy and ice-cold apathy." She turned to Torin. "Can we spy on him, please?"
Paranoia. The reason for the change in Sin all those centuries ago, and the total assurance that Puck would betray and kill him. A miracle Sin hadn't murdered him outright.
"Why would you do this?"
Puck rubbed the center of his aching chest.
"I heard what you said in the cave. You love us. Or you will love me one day, which I still don't understand. Why would you hurt the people you claim to love?"
She offered him a sad smile.
"Puck, do you have any idea how many lives are touched by a single person? Especially an immortal person? The ripple effect is enormous. I saw you so long ago. In here." She tapped her temple. "You were my friend, though we had never met. I helped you survive centuries you would have otherwise missed. I helped you find a way to keep Sin alive. I helped you find Gillian. I helped you spank William. I helped all of you. Moral of the story, I'm amazing."
Hades coughed into his hand, saying, "William?" Right. The Dark One closed in on his father, but it wasn't Hades he focused on. He reached for the crown still glowing above Sin's head. And so the reign of Sin the Demented ends.
The crown.
Gillian raced forward, too late. William already had the crown clasped in his hand. Sin offered no protests, just blinked with a total lack of emotion.
Now I make my goodbyes. With a salute,
Hades flashed away with Sin.
Which means we do as well, Keeley said, then stopped. Oh, before I go, William, sweetheart, I found the only woman, or man, in the history of all histories with the power to break the code. You know, for your book. The one you think has a solution to your greatest problem, your death of the hand of your lover. Stop me if you've heard this.
William went rigid.
Who is he?
Or she.
Tell me.
Okay, okay, geez, you kids and your impatience these days.
Keeley!
She held up her hands, all innocence. Next week, there will be an adorable cryptanalyst convention in Manhattan. At last count, there were 53 nerds planning to attend, like seriously geeked-out mortals. Maybe a handful of geeked-out immortals, too. You have only to find her, or him, among the crowd. Toodles!
Next week? William roared. Manhattan?
Rathbone winked.
Make that 54 in attendance. This is something I don't want to miss.
Oh, and Galen, Keeley said, if you want a chance to win Legion, come find me. Hades will have 1,000 other tasks for you before he lets you near her. I only have 17. With that, she flashed away with Torin. Galen roared now and tried to catch her before she vanished, but failed. He whipped to Rathbone.
Take me to her.
Rathbone revealed a cat-like smile. Of course. I'll explain about payment when we reach her. The Winged One nodded without hesitation. As Rathbone wound one arm around Galen, Pandora stepped up to his other side to clutch his bicep. The trio vanished.
Please, don't do this, William, Gillian beseeched. Don't make Puck fulfill his vow, please.
Puck lifted his chin. He decided to use the shears, or try to, no matter what happened. There was no reason not to accept the crown, even though he would rather be with Gillian. The Cunauts needed a king. Amaranthia needed a king. And to be honest, Puck had no reason to doubt Gillian's love. Not anymore. She'd proven herself time and time again. When the bond broke, her love for Puck would endure. He was certain of it. Just as his love for her would endure, always and forever. Deep in his heart, he knew she was both right and wrong about the prophecy. She thought they had changed Puck's future by allowing Sin to live. But as the Oracle had said, the brother Puck had once known was dead, a new man living in his place. The prophecy had been fulfilled. Gillian's prophecy claimed she wouldn't have a happy ending. For a while, Puck had convinced himself she wouldn't have a happy ending with William. Then he'd let fears cloud his thinking and latched onto the idea that she couldn't have a happy ending with Puck. But she could. She would. She would rule at Puck's side, joyous. He knew it. They simply didn't understand the prophecy. William zeroed in on Puck, but spoke to Gillian.
This must be done, Poppet.
No, she said, and stomped her foot. Please, no.
She was frightened. Frightened the end of the bond would mean the end of their relationship, which meant a part of her did, in fact, believe her love for Puck would be diminished. But love wasn't just a feeling, he realized. Feelings fluctuated, changing because of circumstances and a million other factors. Love was a choice, a commitment to put someone else first, to give rather than take, to protect and never harm. By keeping the bond in place, he would be choosing Gillian's future for her. To have that happy ending, she had to choose her own path. So, Puck planted his heels in the sand, ready to face the future.
Do it, William.
No, Gillian tried to stop the male, but he flashed beyond her. When he reappeared in front of Puck, he paused only a moment before placing the crown where it belonged. Gillian whimpered, nearly undoing Puck. In the next instant, however, he lost sight of everything but the power flowing through him, a cache of Sin's magic, magic from every Cunaut king ever to live. Each of his abilities returned, and then some. The things he could do, the power he could wield, amazing. Magnificent. Heart-wrenching.
It's done, William said. I've given you the Cunaut crown.
Yes. Puck opened his eyes and nodded.
Now you will free Gillian.
William, please, she said, dropping to her knees. Free him from his vow.
Looking panicked, she said, I can't have a happy ending without him.
You can, you will, I insist on it.
The Everrandi reached out, ghosted his fingertips along her jawline. For once, Puck didn't begrudge the man such a touch, for it was his last.
No.
You know there's a catch with the shears, she said. Over the centuries, I've learned there's always a catch with ancient artifacts. Puck had once had the same thought himself.
The shears can be used only once every 100 years. Mortal years, William said. Unless the shears aren't used for 100 years. Then they can be used twice in 100 years. Think rollover minutes for cell phones. If the shears aren't used in 300 years, they can then be used 3 times, so on and so forth.
I've had them 300 mortal years, thousands of Amaranthian years, which means I have one more use. For Gillian. In 100 mortal years, he could help Winter. Another 100 years, and he could help Cameron. Then, finally, 100 years after that, he could help Sin. He wouldn't reverse the order either, even if Sin returned tomorrow. His friends had helped him for centuries, so he would help them first.
Are you doing this to hurt me? Gillian asked William. Because I hurt you?
William, usually the roughest, toughest male on the block, softened.
No. Believe it or not, I'm doing this to aid you.
Looking defeated, she sat back on her haunches.
Too much has changed already. Just give us 50 mortal years, or better yet 100. Then we can revisit this.
So badly, Puck wanted to gather her close and assure her all would be well. He hated seeing her afraid, hated wounding her. He would rather die. But he would rather suffer for eternity than deny her a right to choose. William gave her a chiding tisk-tisk.
This isn't like you, Poppet. You should want this.
Want it? She screeched. My life is finally perfect. Do you know how long I've been waiting for this? Why would I want to change anything?
I'm going to guess you've been waiting, 519 years, William said.
But, sweetling, you are wrong. This isn't perfect. But it will be when we're done.
No, she repeated. I want to keep Puck, and I want his horns returned and his fur. I'm negotiable on the hooves. I need more time with him before we take any risks, okay? I sense that breaking the bond is what causes my unhappy ending. Let's prove this prophecy wrong.
Puck's heart shattered, his resolve weakening. But he sensed the truth, too. This was the right thing to do.
Without the demon, I have the ability to shapeshift, and I will any time you desire.
To demonstrate, he shifted into his beastly form.
I love you, Gillian, I love you. And there's nothing you or anyone else can do about it. This I vow to you. Now let me prove it.
He reached out, smoothed a strand of hair from her cheek.
Let me do this for you and us.
No, she radiated all kinds of violence. I told you there's too much at risk.
William expelled a heavy breath.
Enough. This has to be done. The effect should be immediate, but we'll give it the rest of the day, just in case. If you still want him by the time the sun sets, your new marriage will have my blessing. But one way or another, you will know your true heart and his. This is a gift I'm giving you.
She leaped to her feet and slapped him hard. The crack probably echoed for miles.
Why are you doing this? To win me? Even without the bond, I'm not going to...
Puck flashed in front of her, just in case William decided to attack.
I can flash now? Apparently.
The other man rubbed his cheek and rolled his eyes at Puck.
Perhaps this is a gift to you, Pucker. If you don't want her, you won't have to deal with her temper.
Puck realized the truth then. William had fully bowed out, had no claim and wanted none. With a grin, Puck stepped aside to let the two friends speak. Tone gentle, William said to Gillian, I allowed a need to protect a scared, abused creature to confuse me. And while I love the warrior woman you've become, your feelings for another man are a deal-breaker, and your strength a hard no. I cannot be with a woman who might or might not have the power to defeat me. Unless, of course, I find that code-breaker. His eyes narrowed. And I will. Puck kept his attention on Gillian, looking away impossible. She was strong, had faced so much with her head high, and yet, here and now, she dropped to her knees a second time, willingly placing herself in a position of vulnerability and supplication. But this time, she didn't beg. She bowed her head and sobbed. The sight of her broke what remained of Puck's resolve, and if he'd loved her any less, even just a fraction, he would have begged William to end this. But just as much as she needed to know she'd chosen Puck freely, she needed to know he'd chosen her freely.
Trust me, Les. Please.
He dropped to his knees in front of her, took her hands, kissed her knuckles.
Let me prove my love for you is real and lasting, bond or no bond.
Tears streamed down her cheeks, but finally she nodded, not wanting to hesitate and risk changing his mind. Puck lifted the shears from his chest and cut. Chapter 45. Gillian knew the exact moment her bond with Puck broke, because what remained of her heart broke with it. Wave after wave of sorrow eroded the contentment she'd managed to obtain.
Grief replaced exhilaration.
Every cell in her body mourned the connection with her husband. Once, she'd gone 500 years without him, and she'd mostly thrived. Now, she couldn't go 5 seconds. The metal band around Puck's wrist unlocked and fell to the ground, like the final gong meant to call warriors home from battle. She gazed at her husband, her ex, who watched her with a blank expression and she wanted to vomit. Had he reverted to the Iceman? No. No, he no longer hosted Indifference, so he had no need of the ice. Unless he just didn't want to deal with his emotions. No, he wouldn't summon the ice, not around her, he'd promised. Had he fallen out of love with her then? Had her unhappy ending arrived? Had she fallen out of love with him? She looked from Puck to William, who watched her expectantly. As she peered into his ice-blue eyes, love overshadowed mourning, but that love was still seated in friendship. She had zero romantic interest in William. Her attention zoomed back to Puck, and her heart began to race, spurred into action by love and lust, an unfathomable amount of each, and fully romantic. Her gaze searched Puck's unreadable face. Have your feelings for me changed? If they had, she would... What? You are a warrior. You will fight for what you want. That's what. That was right. Gillian raised her chin. If necessary, she would woo him. She would fight for him and win him back. This wasn't the end. Why had she feared this anyway? When she didn't like something, she changed it.
I don't want what I feel for you to influence your decision, but...
The mask fell away from his features, revealing adoration, affection, tenderness, love.
You aren't just the love of my life, lass. You are my life. I've told this, have I not?
Throwing her arms around him, Gillian cried, I love you too. So much. All that worry, for nothing, absolutely nothing. She could have saved herself and Puck a ton of angst if she'd just trusted their connection. Love never failed. This is boring, Winter winced. All, I'm embarrassed for you both. And kind of gross. Love sucks.
For once, I agree with you, Winnie.
As Winter sputtered about her hatred for the new nickname, William pulled Gillian to her feet. He couldn't force her to let go of Puck, however. Perhaps he understood he'd lose a hand if he tried.
You two are going to spend the bulk of your single hours in a staring contest, if you do, in fact, decide to get together again.
We do, Gillian and Puck said in unison.
You need to secure the Cunnaught Fortress so I can make sure my Gillian has a forever home.
My Gillian, in a blur of motion. Puck was on his feet and punting William in the stomach. His grip on her never slipped.
Only ever mine, never yours.
William held up his hands, palm out, in a show of innocence. You're Gillian, fine, whatever. Consider your claim staked. Anyway, let's go tell your people there's a new douchebag in charge. Very well. Puck gave Gillian's knuckles another kiss before heading for the tree where they'd last made love, where William and company had tethered different chimeras. He glanced back once, twice, thrice, to ensure Gillian hadn't ran off, and her heart soared.
He still loves me. I still love him. This was going to work.
Hopeful, she mounted Peanut. William rode at her left, and Puck rode at her right, making her the meat in a beefcake sandwich. Winter led the charge, and Cameron remained in the rear. 1 hour bled into another, conversation on hold. Was everyone else watching the suns as diligently as Gillian, waiting for them to set? Winter kept up a steady conversation, with herself. Cameron counted trees. His new obsession, apparently. Gillian felt sorry for whatever woman he ended up falling for. His pursuit would be relentless, until it wasn't. Could the keeper of obsession have a happily ever after? Could Gillian? No happy ending meant a life without Puck. He still loves me. I still love him. She would never tire of those words. When they reached a dense thicket of trees, Puck dismounted, and everyone else followed suit. One after the other, they led their chimeras through the foliage. "All right," Williams said, his voice drenched with exasperation. "I've been waiting forever for someone to question me about how I managed to pull off the greatest victory of all time. Since every member of my team is determined to be rude and freeze me out, I'll have to take my story to the grave, not that I'll ever die." Gillian arched a brow, purposely remaining mute. "He'd crack in 5, 4, 3, 2, fine, I'll tell you, stop begging me with your eyes," he said. The Red Queen had a premonition, and, because she's a curator, bound to the earth, its seasons and even its other realms, she was able to link with Amaranthia to create the portal below the clouds. Peanut and I fell through, along with Pandora and Galen, and we ended up in the underworld. Hades caught us with a stream of power and eased us down.
"How did you return to Amaranthia?" Puck asked. "And with so little time passing for us."
The timbre of his voice sent shivers of desire rushing through Gillian.
"No one keeps me from my best friend," Williams said.
"As soon as Sin used magic to trap Gillian with the Oracle and pin you in place, the barrier he'd placed around Amaranthia weakened.
I busted through, contacted Wrathbone, and ta-da, here I am."
"As for defying time itself," shrug, "let's just say my magic is better than your magic."
"Friend." He called her friend. She reached over and patted his hand. They led their chimeras over a dune, and the Cunnaught Fortress came into view. Breath snagged in her throat. The structure reminded her of a giant sandcastle, the most beautiful thing she'd ever seen. Except for Puck, of course. The highest point disappeared in the clouds, and a tower loomed in each side, connected by a parapet where armed soldiers patrolled. The suns had lowered just enough to create a golden aura around... Wait. The suns were in the process of setting.
Williams said he wouldn't protest if Gillian and Puck waited until sunset to bond a second time. Should she ask for a ceremony now, or wait until Puck had settled in, or wait until Puck asked her?
"This is your home?" she asked Puck.
"Our home," he replied, his tone fierce.
She grinned.
"Will the citizens put up a fight when you reveal your new, exalted status?"
"No. The one who wears the crown rules, no questions asked, though they might complain behind our backs."
So, her ex-husband was officially the Cunnaught King, and Gillian was going to be the Shawazan and Cunnaught Queen and help him unite all the clans. Their group marched onward. One of the guards spotted them, and a battle cry rang out. Next, a bell clanged. Someone shouted, "Wait, I think that is Prince Neil?"
"Neil?"
Gillian's brow furrowed. Then she remembered. Neil was the name his people used. More shouts.
"Prince Neil is prince no longer, he is king!"
The shouters didn't sound overjoyed. The soldiers sank to their knees.
"All hail King Pookin!"
Nope, definitely not overjoyed. Their words were grumbled.
"They expect me to be like Sin," Puck said, voice tight.
The front gate opened, revealing more kneeling people.
"You'll win them over," Gillian said. "We both will."
"Hint, hint. Ask me to marry you again, Pucky."
"All right, before we part ways, I need to do a little disclosing."
William pushed out a heavy sigh.
"I kissed your wife, Puck. Now, now, don't go getting that vengeful look in your eyes. Yes, that one. She didn't kiss me back, and I'm glad. I felt like I was kissing my great-aunt Trudy. If I had a great-aunt Trudy," he shuddered.
"I know you kissed her," Puck replied through gritted teeth.
"If you ever do it again, I'll kill you without a qualm."
William laughed until a thorn vine shot from the ground and tripped him. He hacked at the vine, then stood and spit out a mouthful of dirt. Now Gillian laughed, a well of happiness springing up.
Happiness.
Realization struck with the force of a baseball bat. The prophecy was right. She wasn't getting a happy ending. Nope, not her. She was getting a happy beginning, a bond forged because she and Puck had willingly chosen each other. And once they had their beginning, they would have their happily ever after. They would have an eternity together. "Don't worry, Lucky Pucky," she found herself teasing. "I won't let William kiss me again. I have better taste. I mean, I expected masterful skill from someone who spends the bulk of his time screwing anyone who breathes. Alas, William was..." In a stage whisper, she said, "inept." William gave a mock growl. "How dare you, Poppet? I'm amazing." One second he was on her left, the next he stood in front of Puck, cupping the back of his neck and jerking him forward to plant a wet one on his lips. Whooping and clapping, Winter danced around. Cameron hid a snicker behind his hand, while Gillian didn't even try to mask hers. "Better than I imagined," Gillian called, fist-pumping the sky. When William lifted his head, the corner of Puck's mouth twitched. Her ex-husband, soon to be husband again, looked to her and said, "You are right, love. Inept." William brushed an invisible piece of lint from his shirt. "I'll be sure to tell everyone Puck kisses. Never mind. I won't say anything. I don't kiss and tell. I only shag and brag." Gillian shoved William out of the way and launched herself against Puck. "Forget waiting. I love you, and I want to marry you in all ways. I love you, too, but I want to be sure because I'll never let you go again. I'm sure. I know I didn't get a happy ending because..." "I don't care what the oracles say," he interjected. "I will..." "No, you didn't let me finish. I didn't get a happy ending because I got a happy beginning. We will bond again, now, in front of everyone. We will be together forever. I thought about waiting for you to ask, but..." His smile was slow, but wicked and oh so bright. "You choose me of your own free will." "I choose you," she confirmed. "I will always choose you and our people. And I agree to marry you in all ways if I didn't make that clear. One day soon, I'd like to have a ceremony with the Cunots and the Shawazans together. Winter, Cameron, Johanna, and Rosaline would be bridesmaids. William would be her maid of honor, and yes, she would call him by the title for the rest of his life." Their entourage cheered. "I give you my heart, soul, and body," Gillian said, remembering the vows they'd once spoken. "I tie my life to yours, and when you die, I die with you. This I say, this I do." After he repeated the words, she added, "I will help you unite the clans. I will be a help, not a hindrance. I will love you and support you and build you up, never tear you down." His grip on her tightened, an action she interpreted to mean, "I wasn't kidding, I will never let you go. I will cherish you all the days of my life. I will put your safety before my own and always welcome your wise counsel. I will love you forevermore, and nothing, no one, will ever have the strength to rip me from your side." Her heart overflowed with love and joy. She rose to her tiptoes as he lowered his head, and they met in the middle, sealing their promises with a kiss. Long minutes passed before he lifted his head. Panting, he withdrew a dagger and made an incision in the center of his palm. Blood pooled. She accepted the dagger and made an incision of her own. Then they drank of each other. "Blood of my blood, breath of my breath," he took her hand in his, "until the end of time. Blood of my blood, breath of my breath, until the end of time." A new bond clicked into place, a stronger bond, freely chosen, nothing but truth between them, connection. She reveled. "You are my wife," he said, tracing his thumbs over her cheeks. "And you are my husband." Pride glittered in his dark eyes, dark but so bright. The stars were aglow. "We are going to have a beautiful life together." "Always and forever." Gillian would fight for him and make his happiness a priority. And she would succeed. She could do anything. After all, the frightened mouse had blossomed into a warrior. The teenager afraid of men had grown into a woman who'd fallen in love with the most savage immortal ever to live. An ordinary girl had risen from the ashes of her own destruction to become queen of an entire realm. Well, she would be queen of the entire realm soon enough. Best of all, a beast with a frozen heart had melted, becoming the sexiest incarnation of Prince Charming ever to live. "My Prince Charming, anyway." Smiling, Gillian said, "Introduce me to our people. I am ready to begin our happily ever after." Epilogue. Puck and Gillian had been bonded, again, for a little over a month. Not long in the scheme of things, but blissful nonetheless. They had introduced the Shawwazons to the Cunots, and only 53 fights had broken out, with only 18 near deaths. Puck considered it a raging success. Cameron and Winter had returned to the mortal world to help Galen for reasons they hadn't shared with Puck. The girl Galen desired, Legion, had disappeared for the fourth time, and Galen was frantic to find her. Rumors also suggested William was on a rampage about his book of prophecies and codes, and the geek he might or might not have found. A friend of the Lords of the Underworld, a demon-possessed woman named Viola, was now missing, and so was the fallen sent one who'd been chasing her for whatever reason. But while things outside of Amaranthia were chaotic, things inside could not have been better. Today, Puck and Gillian had been officially crowned as King and Queen of the Cunots and Shawwazons, soon to be High King and Queen of Amaranthia. He'd watched his wife dazzle their people with her beauty, wit, charm, and strength, and nearly burst with pride. She'd worn a fitted black dress with an open back, silver beads hanging from a high-neck collar, draping over her shoulders in varying lengths, with blades tied to the ends. He'd wanted to rip each layer away with his teeth, and had, only hours ago. Now she was curled up in his arms, drawing little hearts over his chest. There would be resistance when they united the other clans, but they would overcome. They always did. As for Sin, Pocket scheduled a meeting with the Sent Ones to negotiate his brother's punishment in return. Could life be any more perfect? He and Gillian had made the decision to start their family. One day soon, little dark-haired princes and princesses with whiskey-colored eyes would be running around their fortress. Puck would be forever grateful that Gillian had trusted him with her new beginning, and honored to ensure she remained happy for the rest of eternity. "I'm cold," she said as she shivered against him. "I need your fur." He shifted into his beastly form, and she uttered a sigh of contentment. "Better?" he asked. "Much." He kissed her temple and combed his fingers through her hair, content, satisfied, and, because of this woman, anticipatory. Every day with Gillian was sweeter than the last. Had he known what awaited him, he would have borne his suffering with a smile. Some fairy tales do not have a happily ever after, but this one did.
This is Max Belmore. We hope you have enjoyed this unabridged production of The Darkest Warrior by Gina Showalter, presented by HQN Books and Harper Audio. This program was produced by Elgin Productions. Executive producer, Jennifer Lopes. Text copyright 2018 by Gina Showalter. Production copyright 2018 by Harlequin Books, S.A. All rights reserved. Thank you for listening.
Audible hopes you have enjoyed this program.